am Dan. Okay, so my jug of water, half full or half empty? I wonder how many of you are optimists and how many of you are pessimists. I'm not quite sure why people are optimists and why they're pessimists and what makes them one or another. But what I do know is that we all see the world through a filter, through glasses, if you like. And to some extent, we don't see the world perfectly. We see it in whatever our perspective is. And it may be coloured by our upbringing, our parents, our schools, what culture, what country we were brought up in. All of these things influence the way we look at life. And it is with that in mind that I want to look at this subject of the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I'm going to start with the good, because I think I've come to realise that the world is a lot better place than I'm led to believe by people around me, by the press especially, and nature is a lot more beautiful and wonderful than sometimes we give it credit for. Because if we think of the world or people, let's just give it a percentage, hypothetically, it is 90% good and 10% bad. There is a bit of bad around, no doubt about it, but most people are good. Most people are not bad people. Most people, you know, I had my house robbed this week, but most people aren't robbers. Most people don't want to do that. Most people don't want to break into things and take things. Most people just don't. Most people don't want to harm people. Most people are not terrorists. And yet somehow the press and society makes us focus. Isn't it really interesting how we've focused on the terrorists recently? How we're focused on the bad politicians and the things they do wrong. And we get this day in, day out, all the bad stuff that's going on, all these things. But you know, if we go back to the beginning, so this is from Genesis 2, so verse 27. So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We were created in the image of God. Male and female, created in the image of God. So essentially, we are good. But I want to go a bit further than that, because verse 31 says, after he's created each bit of the creation, he says, it was good. And it is, isn't it? When you look at creation, but again, we do it with creation a bit. We say, oh, look at all the natural disasters in the world. Aren't they awful how people are destroyed and killed by these awful disasters? But most of creation is utterly beautiful. Whether you're looking at the mountains, the sky, the stars, or if you're a detailed people, the dew on the grass and the beauty around us, it's extraordinary. But when he came to human beings, he didn't say that they were good. It said, God saw all that he had made. This is on the sixth day after he'd created man and woman. We were just talking about whether he did do them both on that day. And it was very good. Verse 31. So we as human beings are very good because we're created in the image of God. And there's kind of two ways we tend to, this does to us, this kind of world which makes us focus on this 10% rather than the 90%. It makes us very negative towards the world and people around us. As I said, we focus on the natural disasters. We focus on the bad people, the corrupt people in this world. And that's what's fed to us through the press, day in, day out. And we focus on the bad, when in fact, people are very good. The other thing we can do is with this, is we turn it round on ourselves and we look at ourselves negatively. In other words, we see ourselves as 90%, we take that 10% bad that's in us, or whatever it is, it may be less, and we turn it into 90%, and we start this self-loathing. And it's just rife in our society today, in schools and homes. I just see so much of it. Beautiful, wonderful, God-made people hating themselves because of rubbish that's been spoken into their lives, or they've been told they're not good enough, or they don't look good enough, or they don't act good enough, or they're not clever enough, or they haven't got a good enough job. And they just go into this negative thing. And we get sucked into this negativity when the world around us is beautiful. Now, I'm not saying that it's all good, but I'm saying that I believe most of it's good. Most people are good. And I wonder whether we need to have not the press's perception, but God's, that he saw all that he had made and it was very good. We need to change. Verse 5 from our reading today. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That's what God does to us. He doesn't put us to shame. There's no shame in God. But because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. God pours his love, not because we are wonderfully good, but because he's made us good, and I'm about to come on to that. But God sees us in a positive way. He sees us as very good. And he so thinks we're good, he wants to take each and every person and pour his Holy Spirit into our hearts, because of his love. Now, that brings me on to the bad. Because the bad isn't all what it seems. We need to look at the bad differently as well. Now, I first want to say that the bad is very seriously bad. Because that little 10%, that sin, that little twisting, the little white lies, sometimes the big stuff we do wrong, sometimes the things we say, sometimes the things we think, sometimes the things we read, sometimes the things we watch, they corrupt our soul enough to separate us from our Creator. And we do want to own up to that. And there's a move around, particularly in the church, to try and water down this concept of sin. But I believe we need to own it, but own it in a new way. Because people think, oh, it's a terribly negative message, sin. But it's really not. It's no different than somebody going to the doctor and saying, I've got something wrong. Can you do something for me? Because it is never, ever, ever our job to judge anybody else's sin. That's God's job. It's not to say we're not aware of it. You know, when we look at the terrorism, there's no doubt that that is sin. And we know it's sin. But we need to see it, A, with God's eyes, and B, to let God be the solution. And it may be the kid who's causing problems outside your house by throwing something, as I came across so many times. But the solution is not fences and walls. The solution is God. The brokenness that we see, we need to first of all see it as God sees it. Listen to this. I just wanted to say, verse 10, it says that we are God's enemies. That's the consequence of sin, that we are God's enemies. That's And that's not if we sin as a Christian. That is when you are not a Christian. You are an enemy of God. There's no fence to sit on. We often talk about agnostics, but in truth, there are enemies of God and there are children of God. And the Bible is remarkably black and white on this. And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." And so there is a consequence. But we need to understand as we approach it, we need to first of all see it with God's perspective, and second, to allow God into it. This is starting at verse 6. Listen to this. This is why I chose this. Absolutely extraordinary. You see, at just the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, God died for us. God does not even see our sin. He sees us through the cross. And I want us to do that. When we see sin in others, in ourselves, put a cross in front of you and look through the cross to that situation. Because first of all, when God looks at sinners, he isn't seeing them sinning. He is seeing them as people he wants to be his children. So when he's looking through the cross, the sin dies on the cross. And he is seeing them with huge potential to be his children, and we must be the same. The judgment is on the cross. Now let me make this difficult for you by taking terrorists and saying, seeing them as very good, not what they do. And this distinction, we often say God loves the sinner and hates the sin, but I want us to really grasp hold of this, and I'm going to try and root it really thoroughly and absolutely. When God sees people, he sees them through the cross. We tend to see things negatively through the press, through our own experience, through our own emotions. But I believe God wants us to see things through the cross. Those people that hurt us, terrorists, the idea of them being created very good. What they do is not good. But when you're looking through the cross, because it's not your judgment, it's God's, because he's the judge, not us. Now, I'm not saying that as we see them, you don't look and you think that's wrong. We should think that's wrong. But when you look at the person, it's not that they are wrong, it's what they do is wrong. They were created by God the same as you and I. How they got to be where they are, we just don't know. Sometimes we look at Christians like this, and we look at them and we think, well, they're not a very good Christian. But we don't know where people have come from. We just don't. If you've been brought up just really badly by your parents, never loved by your parents, not loved at school, treated badly by your friends, you're going to be a million miles away from God. And you might meet God and God takes you all this way and you're still much further, but you've only traveled a little way yourself because you've been brought up in a loving family and a good school and good friends and you've just moved this much. But you're better than the person over here, but they've traveled way further than you. And we must see things through a God perspective, not through our own filters of our own world, but through the cross. Because God sees everybody as good. And he died for them, you and I, and everybody. However bad they are, He died and loved them. And he sees everybody as people he's calling to be his children. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But God demonstrated his love for us in this. This is the love of God. And that's why it says in the Bible that we should love our enemies. Because now we have Christ, we can love our enemies. In the past, in the Old Testament, it was an eye for an eye. In the New Testament, there are not many new laws that Jesus made, but that was one of them. Now, I want to go on and just ask us not to judge. And in TV and everything today, we're invited to judge. How good are those people? Let's vote them off. Let's vote them out. Let's not do that. Let's love them in. So I want to come on to the ugly. Now, if you like, the good is the fact that God created everyone good, very good, and we should see people like that. The bad is that, yes, there is bad, but God has already dealt with it, and he has seen it through the cross of Christ now, and so should we. Those are those who do not know God. But what about those who do know God? The truth is we have that 10% of ugliness in us. Now, okay, it may be more, it may be less in us. But there is something about that ugliness in us. And the truth is that if we do not do something about it, nothing will change. The theological word is sanctification. It's moving closer to God, in other words. It's going deeper with God. And as you get closer to God, you are purified more. Because God is life, because God is love, and as you draw closer to that love and closer to that life, you will be transformed. Now, we need to see that in the right perspective. Listen to this in verse 11. Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have now received reconciliation. God is reconciling us to himself. And part of that reconciliation is the cross, so we can have a relationship. And part of it is the sanctification, the ongoing making us right with God. It is the fruits of the Spirit: peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Now, the most important thing to remember is they are the fruits of the Spirit. They are not the fruits of James, trying very hard to be a good boy, which he fails very dismally at. They are the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits do not grow quickly. They take a season to grow, and it's slow. But a tree, we had an apple tree in our garden that died. And when it died, it had no more fruit. So we cut it down. And there are analogies like that in the Bible too. But there are two different people here I just want to go. Well, three actually. I want first of all to talk about the people who are kind of out there, the far off people. The people who, as I discovered, drive cars badly. I found myself in a car, so this is the test. Those people, and this is how this works. Now, somebody, as I come out of my drive, I come onto that roundabout, and recently there's been really heavy traffic, and I go straight across, go through, cut, take the back cross through the housing estate there, which means I don't sit in the queue. But people don't like to let you through. So they sit there like that, and they look at you like this, and they go, no, not going to let you through, no, no. And I sit there, and it just infuriates me. I think, it's so rude, so rude. wouldn't happen in Devon. And just felt God saying to me, what if you saw them as very good? What if you prayed that blessing on them? So I sat there, and somebody just, I knew it was going to happen because I just felt God talking to me, that this guy was just like blocking me in. He just wouldn't let me go through, and I was just trying to drive past, not even going to lose a space. And it just stopped, and I said, having twice and once with a member of church in my car, I went, so rude, so rude. I thought, no, I'm going to approach this differently. And I just said, Lord, bless that person today. You see, that 10% of bad in other people never, ever belongs to us to own it. See it through the cross, and it belongs to God. So give it to God. And isn't it? This is what I said earlier. 4:23. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Do you see that? Not enemies, children. How do you do it? Loving your enemies, praying for them. And all of a sudden, I thought, gosh, I don't do that. So that 10%, in other words, every negative thing belongs to God. Now let's go to our homes, to our families, to our partners, to the people in our workplace who annoy us, who do wrong, to our children who don't do what we ask them, to our partners who so frustrate us. Now, let's take the cross into our families and all those people in our workplace, our families, and our home that annoy us. And realize, don't you do it? Isn't it true that when you get married, or just before you get married, I don't know whether this is still to come, maybe for you too, you see that 90%, they are wonderful. And then as time goes past, that 10% just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It's still 10%, but it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And some people will even divorce people, even though they've got a 90% wonderful partner, they'll divorce them for the 10% because they can't live with that 10%. They try to change them up first, and then they realize they can't change them, so they divorce them, or they get angry with them, or they shout and scream at them. But what if we put this cross between us and our children, our partners, and our workplace, our teachers at school, whoever it is that winds us up, and see that they are very good? And our job now is to pray a blessing on them. A blessing on them. Suddenly you don't own anything negative. It all belongs to God. Here's the final bit. Me or you. When we see the rubbish in ourselves. Some of us are depends. Some people are deluded, and they don't know that they never do anything bad, and they think they're the bee's knees. But most people, particularly in this country, see ourselves as negative. And sometimes that 10% in us eats us up. That sin that we do, that things that we think, those habits that we form, those addictions that we have, that anger that we have, that little lies that we tell, that gossip that we do, starts to eat us up. And we think, oh, if only I could do something about it. But you can't. But God can. And we need to take our rubbish and see it through the cross as well. So we don't hate ourselves, but we see ourselves as very good. And maybe we've come from families that our parents have never told us that we're very good. But God does tell us that we're very good. And he loves us. And he wants us to see ourselves. I've talked way too long, haven't I? I didn't realize that. I'm going to stop now. Oh, no, I'm all right. I'm still all right. Just all right. So we need to see ourselves as very good. And we need to take the cross, and we need to take between us and the mirror. And it might actually be, do you know the word ugly is not in the Bible? Not once. The word beautiful is in the Bible many, many times. The word ugly is not in the Bible. But it may be a physical ugliness we feel. God doesn't make ugly people. There's no such thing. It's a fiction press. No, People aren't ever ugly. Things they do are ugly, but people aren't physically ever ugly. Does God make ugliness? No, he makes very good. But really, I'm talking about the inner stuff. We need to get the mirror and put the cross in front of the mirror and see our rubbish, our ugliness, be it our physical ugliness that we feel or our inside ugliness, and see it through the cross. That we may also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, as we have now received reconciliation. For if, verse 10, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of Christ, how much more shall we be reconciled, so will we be saved through his life? It's an ongoing salvation. The salvation is there, but the relationship goes deeper and deeper. And so, can I invite you, because I promise you that somebody will annoy you because I've preached this sermon this week. Put the cross. See them through the cross. You don't have to rescue them, save them, but maybe just say, pray, turn around, say, Lord, pray that you bless that person. Because nothing negative in this world belongs to us. It belongs to God. If you see wrong in the world, give it to God in prayer. If you see wrong in your family, give it to God in the prayer. If you see it wrong on the roads, those of you who are drivers, particularly men, give it to God. Maybe in your workplace, maybe a teacher, maybe a friend. Give it to God. None of it belongs to us. None of it. If you're a Christian, none of it belongs to God. That belongs to you. It only belongs to God. So see the world through the cross and start to pray blessings on people. I've been practicing this week. It's hard. But it's good because I thought, oh, this is liberating. I suddenly felt, oh, it's liberating. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you may come for each one of us and help us to see people as you see them. Even when they do bad things, you made them very good. It's the sin is bad, yes, Lord, but they are very good. Help us, Lord, when we come across people we don't know, people we know and part of our families and friends, or maybe us ourselves, and help us to see through the cross. For Lord, you loved us while we were still sinners. Help us to love others and to love ourselves while we're still sinners, and to let you do that work of reconciliation in those people or in ourselves. And Lord, this week, give us opportunities to practice this, and that so it may become a lifestyle of seeing you in everybody and seeing in everybody seeing you. Oh Lord, help us to do that by your Holy Spirit. So I just pray now your Holy Spirit come and minister to all of us here, that we might be more and more able to live life like this in our everyday. In Jesus' name, amen.